You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Jesus, we are grateful to be here. We're grateful to be in your word. We're grateful that today we're going to talk about prayer and what it looks like to talk to you as our Savior and Redeemer. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak through my words, that they wouldn't be mine, but they would be yours, and that you would give this inquirer's class inquiring minds to want to know more about prayer and want to dig in more to what it looks like to be in constant prayer with you as we walk throughout our days. And so lead us, guide us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I always like to start off prayer, this prayer time, just kind of talking about a little bit about my story about prayer. Because I never know where folks are. And so you may have a completely different story than me, and that's totally fine. But I grew up hearing people pray and knowing that I should pray. So I grew up in a church family. We were in church all the time. My traditional statement is I was in church before I was born and then the week after I was born. You know, it was so I've been around the church. I've been around prayer a lot. And I would hear people pray and thought, you know, that's the way I should pray. And so it became for me something that I should do and ought to do. And I didn't really kind of know why I should do that or what that meant. But in high school, I experienced a real deepening of my faith. I had somebody who poured into me and really challenged me on lots of different fronts, not just in prayer, but just in reading the Bible and being faithful to Scripture and being obedient. And so it was, you know, my life was really starting to kind of turn around in a sense of what is this all about and what does this look like? And then when I got to college, I met a guy who said, hey, I'd like to disciple you. And I thought, I've heard that word and I don't know what that means, but sure, whatever. And so he took me and probably about five or six other guys, and we would meet pretty consistently, weekly, sometimes more. And in the midst of that, after a couple months of spending time with us, he said, guys, I want to talk about your prayer lives. And I was like, let's talk. I do it like once a day, you know, right before I go to bed. Lasts me about 30 seconds. I can knock it out. And he's like, not exactly what we're going for there. So he challenged us. He said, I want to challenge you to pray for 1 hour a day for the next 30 days. And I thought, I don't even know how that's going to happen. Like, I don't have that much to say. Like, if I tried to pray at that point, I feel like if I would have to be in a white room where nothing would distract me, because I would find, you know, paint chips in the wall and be like, man, somebody should fix that. Oh, wait, I was praying, you know, and it very distracted, kind of like the I tell my kids all the time, they have the attention spans of gnats. And that was me when I was praying. It was just like, woo, all over the place. But in that process of really kind of taking that challenge seriously, I would commit to sit down for 1 hour. And it started out with, all right, Lord, here I am. I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to do. Pray for my family, pray for a couple things on my mind. And then, you know, I had 58 minutes left. And I was like, what does this look like? And I really began to just start longing. Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach me what it looks like to pray in this way. How can I pray for an hour a day? And then I found that at the end of that 30 days, that an hour wasn't long enough because the Lord showed up in those moments. And I learned what it meant to really groan in my prayers and to pray for others in a way that I'd never prayed before, thinking, you know, this isn't just about me. And so, again, I'll back up just a little bit. Up until that point, my prayer life was kind of like Jesus the pinata. Maybe you've heard me say that before. But, you know, if I needed something, I could whack that pinata and hopefully Jesus would, you know, pour out whatever I needed. And then I wouldn't worry about it till the next time I needed something. And then take my pinata stick and whack Jesus until he gave me what I wanted and call it a day. And I learned that prayer was so much more than that. It was so much more than me just asking for things, but it was pouring out the things of my heart that I wanted to see happen, not only in my life, but in others' lives. And then really repentance. And so John 14 came to mind when I talk about prayer. It says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And I realized even in that being challenged to pray for an hour a day, that the Lord was doing some work on me, but I was asking and I wasn't getting. And I thought, well, am I asking wrong? What's going on? And then I began to realize what I was asking for. I remember being in high school, you know, the things that you ask for in middle school and high school when you're praying, because you read that verse and go, well, he says to ask for whatever. And so, you know, Jesus, I'd love to drive a Lamborghini when I turn 16. I think that'd be cool. And so I prayed for a Lamborghini for years. Well, you know, starting at 13, I thought, let's get a head start on this. You know, got 3 years for this to make it happen. And it never happened. And then as I was learning more about prayer, taking that verse to consideration, what Jesus is telling us, and these are his words, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified. Well, that changes everything, right? Could God be glorified in me driving a Lamborghini? Maybe. But at 16, probably not. It probably wasn't going to happen. And I didn't need that. But the Lord wanted me to deepen a prayer life to be more about, again, hitting the Jesus pinata and hoping he would give me something. It was about, what is it, Lord, that you want me to be praying for? And so what I found through prayer and what I found in my own prayer life now is that as I sit with the Lord, the things that I begin to pray for, my hope is that I'm praying for the things that the Father would desire, the things that the Father would want. And some things come to mind that, you know, of course God would want that. Of course Jesus would want that. But then there are other things that the Holy Spirit leads us to pray for that you go, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like, Lord. Is this something that glorifies you? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't know how this looks. And so it became for me a real conversation with Jesus. Lord, these are the things on my heart. Are they of you? Are they the things that you would desire for me to pray for? Are they the things that you would long to see happen, not only in my life, but in the lives of those around me? And so again, my prayer life began to transform. And it started with that being challenged to pray for an hour a day. But even after that, the Lord really began to do a work of, what does it look like for you to groan and to pray in the same way that I, Jesus, prayed in the garden, where there were blood drops literally dripping as sweat from him, because he groaned and longed for the people who would follow him. And so God, I realized a couple things about my prayer life. One was God often would not answer a prayer if it wasn't going to glorify him. Amen. And now there's some things that happen that we know that don't glorify God, but it usually doesn't come through prayer, at least not in my own life. I'm not praying for things, and then if it's not going to glorify God, he says, well, I'll just go ahead and do that for you. It just doesn't happen that way. And so learning to really acknowledge who God's holiness is. And I think that's where he starts when he begins with the Lord's Prayer. And when the disciples come to him and say, how do we pray? And you read the Lord's Prayer, and we know it by heart, right? We've said it over and over and over again. They had never heard this before. They literally were asking Jesus, we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to do. We see you doing these things. Teach us how to pray like you. And when they said this, I'll take it from Luke chapter 11. He said to them, when you pray, say this. Now, I want to be careful here, because I think that we can absolutely use just those words, what Jesus told us to do. That is sufficient for prayer. But I do think that Jesus had some more in there other than just, hey, pray these words and then you're good. Because what happens in our human nature, right, is that we'll pray those words and go, good to go. That took me 30 seconds, Jesus. I'm praying exactly like you told me to. That wasn't what he was after, right? There's stuff built into the Lord's Prayer that I think Jesus was really challenging his disciples. Father, hallowed be your name. So an acknowledgement first and foremost that you are holy and I am not. That's the hallowed word. You are holy. You are a God that I could never be. And if I tried to be, it would be a disaster. And so, Lord, I'm acknowledging that you are holy. And then the next thing, your kingdom come. This is not what we do on Sunday morning. I think we use the Matthew version. This is the Luke version. When you pray, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Why would he say your kingdom come? Because that's the desire that God has had from the beginning. You go all the way back to Genesis, you see this, what we call, and I often call, the thread that runs through all of Scripture, I believe, is the kingdom of God. It runs from Old Testament all the way to the end to Revelation. Where the kingdom, so when God created Adam and Eve, he put them in the garden and he said, you take care of it and then you multiply so that this will take over the earth. So in other words, I want everything to look like this garden that I have created, so that my kingdom would be on earth as it is in heaven. So your kingdom come. That's a different kind of prayer, right? First of all, God, you're holy. Second of all, would you show me how to pray for your kingdom to be here? What does it look like for your kingdom to come? And we see that all throughout Scripture. If you want to go reference some things, look at what Jesus entered into and you see how he brought about his kingdom. It's often not the way we think about it. He usually gets it way outside the box that we might put it in. But your kingdom comes. So I want it to look, Jesus is saying, we want earth to look like heaven until eventually all will be taken away and earth will look like heaven, because we see that all the way in Revelation. And then he says this, give us each day our daily bread. Now in those days, I don't think that was all that far-fetched, because they probably bought food for the day. And they had to trust. And it goes all the way back to Moses in the time when they've been exiled, or they've come out of Egypt. And he gives them manna each day. And he says, you just get what you need that day. That's all you need. And if you get more, it's going to ruin. So just get what you need for the day. And it is that in that verse, I think we're being taught, God, help me depend only on you. Only on what you want to give me. Now, I'll incorporate the things that we're doing as we leave the Advent. One of the things that we're going to be doing, we're working with an organization called Big Life. And Big Life is a really a sending organization for missionaries. And so if we had to define what we're doing, it would be missionaries to the city of Birmingham. And it has required us to really go back to that verse and say, Lord, give us each day our daily bread. Because I'll tell you, I argued with Jesus about it a lot. I was like, I don't want to do it. Somebody else can do this, God. You can use somebody else to do this. I'm good. I am good right here. I don't have to do this. I'll work with whoever you want to do that with. That's fine. And then Jesus kept saying, no, I want you to do it. And so this word kept coming to me of trust me. And I think in the trusting was this, what Jesus taught his disciples. Give me the day, just this day. My daily bread. Give me what I need today to do. And he ties it back, I believe, to make your kingdom come to earth as it is in heaven. What do I need today to do that? And then, verse 4 of Luke 11, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Ooh, that one's hard. Because I know me, right? Somebody hurts me and I'm like, well, I'm going to hold that one. I got you. Yeah. You know, and I don't want to forgive you. And then Jesus is saying, well, actually, I want you to pray, forgive me the same way I forgive other people. I don't want to pray. Can I skip that part? Because that's really hard to do. Because I don't forgive people very well. So without Jesus, I'm not forgiving anybody, right? I don't have the ability within myself to do that. But that's what he's teaching his disciples there. In your prayer, that's an inward look now, going, where are you? Have you forgiven the people who've hurt you in the same way that I've forgiven you? Because Lord knows I hurt Jesus every day. Lord knows I wake up in the morning and that thought comes in, or that person cuts me off coming downtown in traffic and it's not, you know, and my thought process goes, woo, out the window. So much for glorifying Jesus today. So it's that look inside. You're asking for forgiveness, but also know that forgiveness is expected of you to give as well. And then lead us not into temptation. A lot of controversy on lead us not into, why would Jesus lead us into temptation anyway? I don't think that's what he means. I think he's saying, keep us from falling into the temptation. The temptation's there, right? Look all around us. We got temptation all around, especially today with the internet. You got temptation left and right, whether that's a shopping temptation or a lustful temptation or a gossip temptation or whatever it might be. It doesn't take much to find some sort of temptation out there that we're going to say, ooh, that's a struggle. And so it's not that it's not going to be there. It's that, Lord, keep me from it. Protect me from falling to that temptation. And then that's all he gives us in Luke, in the Lord's Prayer. Now, we know from Matthew, he gives a little bit more. Matthew records a little bit more of it. But then he goes on there, which is interesting. Suppose you have a friend. So this is the way he's told him to pray. And it ends with this, don't let me fall into temptation. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. And a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children and I are in bed and I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened, for everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of your fathers, if the son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, you'll give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him? And I think that's the key there at the very end, is that it's when we're asking for things like this, we're really saying, Lord, my heart can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit has the ability. And so, God, you tie that back to just asking and groaning. Marshall and I have these conversations all the time, which, you know, if you were a bug in the room, you could hear us talk all the time about asking for the Holy Spirit to fill and to do things in our lives. And I think we groan for those things and we say, Lord, give us those things. Fill us in that way. And he's telling us, keep asking and I'll give it. Keep asking and I'll give it. And even when it doesn't look like I'm giving it, I'm giving it. Even when you don't feel it, I'm giving it. I'm present with you. Because I am a good father, is what he's saying. And I'm going to give the good gifts. And how would I be a father in heaven who loves you if I'm not going to be willing to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit if you ask? And so it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, I think, that really brings us back to what does it look like to pray? I can't do it. My willingness, my faithfulness is one thing, right? And so there are going to be times that I'm, whether I'm in the Word or whether I'm praying, that I'm not feeling it. I mean, you've all read Lamentations, right? Leviticus. You've all read those. You know, I'm not getting up in the morning going, woohoo, can't wait to jump into this one. But it's in the faithfulness that the Lord says, hey, I'm going to work through this. Just be faithful and watch me show you something in this time. Watch me show you something through my word, even when you're not excited about it. Watch me show you something in prayer, if you'll just be diligent. And sometimes that prayer just looks like, Lord, the best I can do is just be here. That's it. Here I am. I'm here. You got to do the rest. And I think it's in those moments that we really begin to experience a prayer life that Jesus was challenging his disciples with. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom's going to come. Help me to know those things. And so so that's kind of my spiel on prayer. Now, one of the things I do like to challenge when we talk about prayer in here, a lot of people ask me the question, well, how do I get started in praying? If my prayer life, and you probably have a prayer life of some sort now, I don't know what that looks like. It may be 5 minutes, maybe 5 hours. I don't know what you're praying every day or every week. But I do know that there are some helpful tools that I think are really good to go along with the Lord's Prayer to kind of help catapult some of our prayer life when we feel like we're getting stuck in places. Because every one of us has sat in that room and been distracted by the paint color or the picture on the wall or the whatever it might be. And one of the things that I use often is called the prayer cycle. I'll give you a copy of this before you leave. But the prayer cycle, it's really simple. It's not rocket science by any means. Somebody came up with it that's not me, and I just stole it from them. But the prayer cycle is an hour prayer that's divided into 5-minute segments. And it's fascinating because in 5 minutes, I can get distracted real easy in 5 minutes. And so what I do with this is I set a timer for 5 minutes. And it starts with praise and it ends with praise on this prayer wheel. And the way I do that is I set a timer for 5 minutes and I begin by just, Lord, what do I need to praise you for today? Well, I praise you for the breath in my lungs. I praise you for my family. I praise you for, you know, I begin to praise and then I get distracted and then that 5-minute timer goes off and then I know, okay, let's go to the next one because thank you, God, for timers that will move me to the next part and remind me of where I am and what I'm doing right now. And so then it just to give you, and again, I'll give you this, it's praise and then waiting. I think waiting is probably one of the hardest things we do in prayer because we often think that prayer is just me talking to God. But that's just half of it. Maybe not even half. Some of my best prayer times is when I'm willing just to wait and listen. And just say, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me? What do you want to show me? And that does require some time because I got to get all my stuff out of the way. You know, I got to get my thoughts out of my head in such a way that I can listen to the Lord. And so there's a waiting where I spend time just waiting on the Lord and waiting for Him to kind of pull some reflections together for me. And then confession, just repentance. Lord, where have I fallen short? Where have I not honored you? Where's my mind gone that shouldn't go? Where's my thoughts gone? Where have my actions been this week that have not been honoring to you? And then a section where I read the Word, a little 5 minutes of just kind of going to the Psalms and saying, what can refresh me? What kind of gets me in this, keeps me in this mode of prayer. And then petition. That would be really asking for the things that are on our heart. We want to ask for the things that are out there, say them out loud. And oftentimes, if it's not of the Lord, He'll tell you. He'll show you if you begin to petition something and you say it out loud and go, ooh, well, that didn't even sound good out loud. That was in my head, and it definitely doesn't sound good out loud. So then you move to, let me see here, intercession. That is making a request on behalf of others, praying for those that are on your mind and on your heart. And then begin to pray the Word, praying the Word out loud. I find this to be some of the most refreshing times because I can just go to a passage, you know, some of the things that Paul prays at the beginning and the end of his epistles, just taking those things and praying them out loud, beginning to pray God's Word out loud in our hearts and in our minds and then on our lips. And so praying the Word. And then thanksgiving, giving thanks. And then there's a section there for singing. Some people are like, ooh, I'm not going to do that one. But, you know, sometimes you may put something on a YouTube worship time and just sing along with it. Or maybe I do. I just think of my favorite hymn. Just start singing a hymn out loud. And there's one of my favorite songs, which it's talking about prayer. It's called Talking to Jesus. And it's kind of this song where it's kind of a song where he's talking. He's not really singing a lot in the song, but he's telling a story of this. And one of my favorite lines in there is he was on his knees and he said, my oldest son came into the room and said, sorry, I'll come back another time. And he said, you came at the perfect time. I'm talking to Jesus, and invites him in. And so there's, you know, if you start singing, who knows might hear you and somebody else might go, ooh, hey, what you doing? I want to pray with you. Depending on where you are. And then meditate. And then there's another one where we come back around to listen, just really listening to the Lord. And then again, we end with praise. And so a little 60-minute wheel. If you don't have 60 minutes, you say, well, 60 minutes is a long time. Cut it down to 2 minutes each and see how it goes. You might find that you need 3 or 4 minutes each on those. And so just, again, a tool to help you in your prayer life to connect with the Lord and really just begin to talk to Him. And so any questions or thoughts about prayer or anything else? I'm happy to answer other questions about prayer. Yes, ma'am. Ruth.
In His Word, He says, do not repeat the same word. Sometimes when you get older, you know, you forget.
Yeah.
He don't hold that against you.
No, He doesn't. No. Thank goodness, because I repeat it all the time. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the structures that I've learned with Menendez Small Group was mm-hmm. Acts. So
yeah.
A-C.
A-C-T-S, yeah.
So maybe if I don't have an hour.
Sure, sure, yeah. And Acts just stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So, there's multiple tools. And again, I give you this as a tool. So it's not the, ooh, we got to do it this way kind of deal. I don't think there's a way that you would say prayer has to look like this. I think there's a beauty in praying to say, today my prayer life's going to look like me walking in the woods and connecting with the Lord and just talking out loud to the things that I love doing that kind of stuff too. Go to Oak Mountain, go to Red Mountain, go hiking, you know, take a trail and just connect with the Lord out there. So there's not a specific tool. There's tons of tools that we can use to pray. And yeah, so absolutely. Other thoughts, questions on prayer?
Do you have thoughts about morning, spending time with the Lord in the morning versus other times in the day?
I have thoughts, but they're personal thoughts, in that they're not going to be like, I don't. The Lord does give us some things in Scripture, I think, that says, you know, early in the morning that we meet with Him. I don't think that is a hard and fast rule where we have to say, well, if I miss the morning, then I can't spend time with Jesus any other time. For me personally, I find that morning to be the better, because that's before everything gets started and my day starts going haywire, you know, and then I find I have good intentions. If I miss time with the Lord in the morning, well, I'll just grab that in the afternoon, or I'll grab that before I go to bed. And then by the afternoon and by bed, I'm like, I'm exhausted. I'll just do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow, the same thing happens. And so you get out of a routine. And so my encouragement would be, whatever works for you, that you can be consistent. And I relate it to that of, like, you know, if you're going to go to the gym, you know you have to schedule that. Otherwise, it's never going to happen. You're not going to go work out. You're not going to go running unless you say, at 2 o'clock, I'm going running, or at 4 o'clock, I'm going running or working out or whatever. Schedule that time with the Lord. I have it on my calendar so that, you know, it's that reminder every morning. That's mine. It says TWG. My kids will see that. What's TOG? What are you doing, Dad? And they catch me. It's okay. I'm all right being caught. Time with the Lord, time with God in the morning. It's often a better time for me. But again, your schedule may lend itself to something else. So is that kind of what you were looking for? Find what's best for you. And I know a lot of folks who, you know, you start the morning that way and you find yourself, prayer's not a flip the switch on and off kind of deal. I'm going to only pray this time of the day or this time. You start the morning praying and then you find yourself throughout the day, really just praying, asking the Lord for things, praying over somebody that you know, you meet or run into at work and say, gosh, I'm going to say a prayer for them. And I think the Lord uses that as an evangelistic opportunity as well. Somebody that you work with to say, man, something's going on. I want you to know I'm praying for you today. Wait, why are you praying for me? What does that mean? Who knows what kind of conversations you can get into that way. So,
thank you, Wes. Can you close this?
I would love to close you in prayer. Yes. That bell always reminds me that I'm out of time. So, Jesus, we are grateful again to be here. We praise you for the opportunity to sit in this room, to sit and to talk about prayer. Lord, I pray that each and every person who's heard this today, God, that it would be encouraging to them. Lord, that we can start with just a little bit and be faithful with that. And we find ourselves wanting more and more of you. And so, Lord, wherever somebody might be sitting in the room today, if their prayer life is non-existent to maybe a couple of hours a day, whatever it might look like, Lord, that we would lean into that and trust in you and press into this time of prayer, that we might expectantly meet with you. And so give you thanks for the inquiring minds today. And God, would you continue to show us yourself and reveal yourself to us in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.